بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Zubair,
can you pass me those papers right there?
Yeah, all of it. Jazakallah khair. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our second session, reading from Bawa'ith Al-Khalas Min Al-Dhunub. Yani, how to escape from sins. The original book is written by Al-Imam Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr al-Damashqi al-Hanbali, who was well known by the name of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. And the commentary that we'll be looking at is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we start with the first matter that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, which we alluded to in the previous session just briefly, before we go back to that, we want to quickly review some of the matters that we discussed last week in the introduction from the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number one. The first question being mentioned the original author's first name, father's name, the name he is well known by, and his Hijri date of birth. And he's the original author, his first name, his father's name, the name that he is well known by, and his Hijri date of birth. Start with his first name now. Huh? Tayyib. Shamsuddin is a title. Abu Abdullah is a kunya. And his first name was what? Huh? Anybody? His first name. Muhammad. And his father's name is Abu Bakr. His father's name is Abu Bakr. Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr. Now, as far as the name that he's well known by, is what? Huh? Ibn al-Qayyim. Or Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. And his Hijri date of birth? 691 of the Hijra calendar. Now, the second question. Mention the most important teacher and how many years he studied with him. Who was his most important teacher? We mentioned several of his teachers, most important of them being? Naam, Zaki. Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, was his most important teacher, and he studied with him how long? Anybody?
17 years.
And by the way, I don't want to take time with this because we dealt with this last week, but just think for a moment. Who have you studied with for 17 years? Who have you studied with for 17 years? Maybe even 17 months. That's a significant period of time to actually stick with somebody and study with them seriously, not just passing through now and then. Tayyib. Question number three. Mention two of his most well-known students. Two of his most well-known students. One of them. Ibn Rajab. Al-Hafiz Abi Imam Ibn Rajab. Naam. And Al-Hafiz, Al-Imam Hafiz Ibn Kathir, the great scholar of Tafsir. Mention three of his most important characteristics as described by his student Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir. Three characteristics that Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentioned about. One, go ahead, Zaki. That Ibn Kathir mentions concerning him. Okay, he was courageous. Is that what Ibn Kathir said? Now, Abdul Wali.
He occupied himself with knowledge day and night.
He occupied himself with knowledge day and night. Second characteristic Ibn Kathir mentions concerning him. In the back, Dawood.
Did not know anyone this time.
He also said that. He didn't know anyone who was a greater worshipper in the world at that time than Ibn al-Qayyim. Another characteristic Ibn Kathir mentions concerning him. Now,
he would pray and recite the Quran much.
Okay, he would pray, perform salat, and he would recite the Quran a lot. Yani he was constantly engaged in prayer and reciting the Quran. Now, and he was a person known to have excellent character. From amongst those things that were said about. Question number five, mention four important fields of knowledge, which Al-Hafiz As-Suyuti, rahimahullah, says he became a senior scholar in. Yani fields of Islamic knowledge, four important fields of Islamic knowledge. Abdul Wali.
Tafsir
of the Quran, explanation of the Quran. That's the most important thing. Naam, second, hadith. Yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third. Huh? Yeah, he said, go ahead, you go ahead. He said, you're older than him. Fiqh? Okay, fiqh. Yani he said, usul and furu'. So what do we mean by usul? What do we mean by usul? What is usul here? Usul and furu'. What is the link, what is the meaning of usul and furu'? Just like the translation of these words.
Foundations.
Usul is the plural of asl. It means the foundations, the fundamentals. And furu' means what? Fara', yani the branches of something. So what is intended here is the usul, meaning the Islamic aqidah. And the furu' is the Islamic jurisprudence. That's the secondary matters. The fundamentals of Islam are what we believe in. And fiqh, jurisprudence, is secondary. Also he mentioned about him what? In terms of fields of knowledge.
Arabic language,
which is really, really very important. Let's go on from here because we don't have time to deal with that today. Also, he says, question number six, mentioned two important matters which Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, in his introduction says he will not deal with in this presentation. Two things that he said he will not deal with. Clarification of the dangers of sins and the harm that they cause to a person in this world and the next life. Second matter he said he's not going to be dealing with. That's part of the magnitude of the sins. The second thing he said, that he's not going to deal with. Another important topic related to this topic. Yani Abdul Wali.
Repentance.
The importance of repentance. And the need to hasten to perform repentance. He said he's not going to be dealing with that in this presentation. What are we going to be dealing with? Yani the ways and means through which a person will be helped and aided to escape from sins, to avoid disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 7. How has Shaykh Abdul Razak defined the term al-bawaith, yani the plural of baith, in his introduction to this topic? What did he say is the meaning of al-bawaith? What is the meaning of al-bawaith? In the introduction, yani that's in the English translation. What did he say? Naam, fadl. MashaAllah. And he refers to those things, or those asbab, yani the causes, or the means, or the reasons that will enable a person to do what? The first thing he mentioned is what? Yani to repent, and to hasten towards repentance, and then he said, and that's really our topic tonight, that is, how a person will avoid sins, and distance themselves from sins. Avoid sins, and distance yourself from sins. Yani, mujanaba means to avoid something. Al-bu'd means that you stay far removed from it. Don't even go near it. The last question discussed the first ba'ith. This is the modified study guide because the last two questions that was on last week's study guide we didn't cover. So they came, yani it'll come tonight inshallah. Discuss the first ba'ith, religious motivational factor, mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. What is the first matter that he mentioned, and Ibn Qayyim, and we just read it briefly at the end of the session. The first matter, now.
Ways to escape sins.
From the ways to escape sins. The first thing he mentioned is what?
The reverence and
veneration of Allah.
So the person acknowledges within his heart and
exaltation.
Yeah.
Uh huh. So the meaning here of what Ibn Qayyim is saying here is ijlalillah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ta'asa wa huwa yara wa yasma. And that's the text of what he said. that a person has in their heart the awareness, the consciousness of the yani ijlal of Allah, yani that they recognize Allah deserves to be, yani deserves reverence and veneration, such that they do not disobey him while he sees and while he hears. Yani that a person has in their heart reverence for Allah to such an extent that it prevents them from disobeying him, knowing that he sees and he hears. Now, this is what yani Ibn Qayyim mentions, and he also said that whoever has this in their heart, then that person's heart yani will not cooperate, will not consent to him ever doing acts of disobedience to Allah, by the permission of Allah, inshallah. Now, okay, so these are some of the points that we covered last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to actually go back to the first point, what Ibn Qayyim mentions there, and we want to also look at the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And again, I'm going to mention, as I did last week, that there are some, yani, some places where there's going to be a difference between the English translation and the Arabic text. And more importantly, there are some places where it's just not translated, where there are some portions of the Arabic text that are not translated for whatever reason, Allahu A'lam. And maybe they were dealing with a different text, I don't know. But in any case, I'm going to bring that to our attention. I'm going to read from what he said that's in the English translation, and then I'm going to identify yani where the Shaykh goes on with comments that are not in the English translation. So we're going to be reading in the English translation from, or in the Arabic translation from page 7 and page 8 and page 9. In English, we're going to be reading from what page? 12? Starting on page 12. And it's the first matter. Keeping in mind that, very important to keep in mind that the text of the words of Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim is in the back of the book. It's in the back of the book. And then the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak is in the front of the book. So in reading the English translation, a person has to be going back and forth. Okay, for the first point, we're going to look in the back of the book where the text of the speech of Ibn Qayyim is at, and then we're going to come to the front of the book where the first point is at. Okay, so I don't know the page numbers. I unfortunately didn't write them down. In the back of the book, page 58. Okay, so the first part that we're going to read is from the back of the book, page 58, the first point, and then we're going to come back to the front of the book. All right, so, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله, he says, فصل. يعني this is a chapter. وأما تقوية باعث الدين فإنه يكون بأمور. So as for that which will strengthen, yani will increase the ba'ith of the deen, yani the things, the causes, the means, the ways that strengthen a person's deen, strengthen their iman, and enable them to avoid sin. He said that the ba'ith or taqwiyat al-ba'ith al-deen, it comes by way of different affairs. يَكُونُ بِأُمُورٍ. And he mentions 20 of them. This is the first of them. أحدها, yani one of them, is إجلال الله تبارك وتعالى أن يُعصى وهو يرى ويسمع. Yani it is to have reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, تبارك وتعالى, such that he would not be disobeyed, such that you would not disobey him while he sees and while he hears. Yani he sees, he is al-basir, the one who sees everything, and he is as-sami', the one who hears everything. So the person who believes that Allah is al-basir and as-sami', and they understand what that means, and they have reverence for Allah in their heart, then this will be a preventive factor, a prohibitive factor that will inhibit the person from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim goes on to say, rahimahullah, وَمَنْ قَامَ بِقَلْبِهِ مَشْهَدُ إِجْلَالِهِ لَمْ يُطَاوِعْ قَلْبُهُ لِذَلِكَ الْبَتَّةَ. And so whoever yani has in his heart, yani whoever's heart is yani realizes, recognizes, acknowledges the reverence that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that heart would not yield, would not submit, would not consent to disobeying Allah ever by the permission of Allah. So this first point here, yani, is relatively brief, and it should be easy for a person to conceptualize and to keep in the forefront of one's mind, and in that way it can help a person. That is, if a person has reverence for Allah, if a person recognizes the greatness and the magnificence and the glory and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they have that recognition, that realization in their heart, and they know that Allah sees them and that Allah hears them, this will help a person, yani, to avoid being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says in his ta'aliq, yani his comments concerning this first matter, al-ba'ith al-awwal lil-khalas min al-dhunub, yani the first of those motivational, religious motivational factors that will help a person to escape from, to be free from committing sins. It is ijlalullah wa i'zamuhu, yani having reverence and veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yani the exaltation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize His majesty and His magnificence and His greatness and His glory. This is the first matter. وَذَلِكَ أَن يَشْهَدَ الْمَرْءُ فِي قَلْبِهِ جَلَالُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَعَظَمَتَهُ. And this is, the way to do so is that a person يَشْهَد فِي قَلْبِهِ, and his heart recognizes and acknowledges, actualizes, the heart recognizes and acknowledges and actualizes reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the acknowledgement of His greatness and His glory and His might and His power and His magnificence. That a person's heart acknowledges this, recognizes this, has this is a reality in the person's heart. And if we have time in the end, inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about, yani, how that is achieved, yani, how a person develops and increases and strengthens in their heart this realization. How do you actualize having reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And in case we don't have time in the end, in summary, I'll say that from the ways to actualize reverence for Allah is to contemplate, to reflect upon the creation of Allah, Allah's rububiyyah, to see the greatness of Allah in that which He is, what He created, and what He controls, and what He, yani, is doing in the creation all the time. For a person to contemplate, to reflect upon, to ponder over the creation of Allah, especially Allah's rububiyyah. And like I said, inshallah, if we have time in the end, we'll come back to it. The Shaykh, he says here, that the way, yani, that a person has ijlal and ilzam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the heart recognizes and acknowledges Allah's reverence, the veneration of Allah and the greatness and glory of Allah. Kama qala subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says in the Quran. And here the Shaykh mentions two quotations from the Quran, and in the English translation they are reversed in order. I'm going to read them the way they are in Arabic. And anyway, yani, the first of them that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 67th Ayat. And then he has some commentary on this ayat, and perhaps that's the reason why they may have reversed it in the English, and because the commentary is in reference to the first ayat. The first ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And this is from Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 67th Ayat. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, yani, that they, meaning the mushriks, the disbelievers, did not, yani, have a just estimate or appraisal or assessment of the greatness and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it was due to Him. And the earth, the entirety of it is in the grip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand, the right hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Yani, the one, O Allah, the one who is perfect and free from imperfections, and He is high and far removed from what they associate with Him. Yani, what they make as equals or partners with Him, or whatever they ascribe to Him, that is unbefitting of Him. The second ayat that the Shaykh mentions in Arabic, and it's the first ayat in the English translation, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nuh, 71st Surah, 13th and 14th ayat, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرَجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَتْوَارًا. Yani, what is the matter with you all? Yani, you people, what is the matter with you that you don't attribute to Allah the greatness and the glory and the majesty and the magnificence that is due to Him while He has created you in stages? The Shaykh, in his commentary, which is not mentioned in the English translation, first quotes an explanation of this ayat from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He says, قال Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma في تفسيرها, in the explanation of this ayat, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرَجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا, what is with you that you do not, yani, attribute to Allah the greatness, the glory, the majesty, the magnificence that is due to Him? He says, the meaning of this ayat is, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُعَذِّمُونَ اللَّهَ حَقَّ عَظَمَتِهِ. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُعَذِّمُونَ اللَّهَ. What is with you that you do not magnify, glorify, exalt Allah in the way that is due to Him, yani, in the way that is due to Him based on His greatness and His glory and His majesty? What is with you? Yani, what is wrong with you people? What excuse do you have that you do not recognize the greatness and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is due to Him? Then he mentions, also not mentioned in the English translation, the statement of Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, the great scholar of tafsir, rahimahullah, who said in his tafsir of this ayat, yani, the second part of the ayat, وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَتْوَارًا, and He, while Allah, has created you in stages. He said the meaning, أَتْوَارًا, it means a تَوْرًا بَعْدَ تَوْرًا إِلَى تَمَامَ الْخَلْقِ. Yani, that Allah has created you in one stage after another until He completed and perfected your creation. Al-Qurtubi says, فَمَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا وَقَدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ حَقُّ أَنْ تُعَذِّمُهُ. So whoever has done this, who has created the human beings and the animals and the other things in the creation, but especially the human being, who has created you, the human being, in one stage, from one stage to another, until He completed your creation, whoever has done this, and whoever has the ability to do this, then he has the greatest right that you magnify Him, that you glorify Him, and that you exalt Him. These two sayings that the Shaykh is quoting here from Ibn Abbas and from Al-Qurtubi are similar in meaning, even though Al-Qurtubi is referring to the second part of the ayat, but it's connected to the first part of the ayat. The point is, why is it that you people do not exalt? Why is it that you people do not magnify and glorify and recognize the greatness and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Second part of the ayat, since He is the one who created you from one stage to another, and so the one who does this and who has the ability to do this has the most right that he be glorified, that he be magnified, that he be exalted. Just quickly, I'm going to mention here, that is, some of the many sayings that Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi mentions in his tafsir concerning this ayah. From amongst those sayings is the saying of Sayyid ibn Jubair and Abu Aliya and Atta ibn Abi Rabah, and some of them mentioned it from Ibn Abbas, that he said the meaning of مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا, it means مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ ثَوَابًا وَلَا تَخَافُونَ لَهُ إِقَابًا. What is with you that you do not have hope of reward from Allah, and you do not have fear of His punishment? And if a person had hope of reward from Allah, this would be a motivation for them to do good deeds. And if they had fear of the punishment of Allah, this would be a motivation for them to avoid sinning. What is it with you? Yani, what is wrong with you people that you do not have hope of the reward of Allah and fear of His punishment? And there are many other sayings he said that are similar to this. He mentioned from different people from the early days, the early generations of the scholars. From amongst them he said, what is with you that? لا تعلمون لله عظمة. That you don't know the greatness and the glory and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا ترون لله عظمة. That you do not see, you don't recognize Allah's greatness and His glory. ولا تؤدون لله طاعة. Yani, what is with you that you don't fulfill the rights of Allah of being obedient to Him? That you do not, لا تعرفون لله حقا ولا تشكرون له نعمة. What is with you that you do not recognize Allah's right and that you are not thankful for His favors and His bounties and His blessings? And he also mentioned from the last of those sayings, لا توحدون الله لأن من عظمه فقد وحده. يعني he said, from amongst the sayings of the scholars concerning this ayat is, what is wrong with you that you do not recognize the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani, that you not single out Allah alone, exclusively, yani, for worship. And that, because whoever magnifies Allah, then this person has established the tawheed of Allah. Yani, whoever gives Allah His due right of being exalted and glorified and magnified, then this person has established the tawheed of Allah. Imam al-Qurtubi also says, Ibn Abbas says, atwaran, stages from one stage to another. He said it means nutfatan, thumma alakatan, thumma mudghatan. That a person, that Allah created first the drop, yani the nutfa, and then the clot of blood, the alaqa, and then the piece of flesh, the mudgha. Yani, that these are from the stages that Allah takes the human being through in their creation until He completes the creation. Yani atwaran, yani tawran ba'da tawran ila tamam al-khalq. And then he says that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, so whoever does this and whoever has the ability to do this, then this person is the one who has the most right to be yani glorified, to be exalted, to be magnified. Some of the scholars said that the stages that the human being goes through is sibyanan, thumma shababan, thumma shuyukhan. That a person goes from this level of, from the stage of being a child to being a young man to being an older person, and so on. And all of this is from the meanings that Al-Qurtubi mentions concerning this particular ayat. What is important here is that the Shaykh mentions this ayat to show that the people didn't glorify Allah, didn't magnify Allah, didn't exalt Allah in the way that was due to Him. After this, the Shaykh mentions, and also this is not in the English translation, he mentions the incident of Jubair ibn Mutim radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his experience with this, yani this condition or this state of the heart having reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani being a means through which a person is able to avoid sins. The Shaykh says, وَمِن شَوَاهِدْ تَأْذِيرْ هَذَا الْمَشْهَدِ فِي النُّفُوسِ مَا جَرَى لِلصَّحَابِيِ الْجَلِيلِ جُبَيْ بْنِ مُتِمْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَمَّا قَرَأَ سَمَعَهُ بَعْدُ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي فِيهَا بَيَانَ عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ وَقَامَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مَقَامِ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ وَجَبَرُوتِهِ وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ الْخَالِقُ وَالرَّازِقُ وَالْمُتَصَرِّفُ بِجَمِيعِ الْخَلْقِ دَفَعَهُ ذَلِكَ لِلْإِيمَانِ وَالدُّخُولِ الْإِسْلَامِ. He says that from amongst those incidents which yani bear witness to the effect that this yani realization, this actualization in the heart or in the soul of the human being recognizing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst those incidences that bear witness to this is the incident of the companion, the noble companion of the Prophet Jubair ibn Mutim radiallahu anhu, when he heard some of the ayats of the Quran in which there was a clarification or a mention of the greatness and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his heart experienced this reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing his yani his being all powerful, and that He is the creator and that He is the provider and that he is the one who controls all of the affairs of the creation. He said this is what compelled him to have iman and to enter into Islam. This incident is mentioned in the Sahih of al-Bukhari and in others, when Jubair ibn Mutim radiallahu anhu said, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَقْرَى فِي الْمَغْرِبِ بِالْتُورِ. Yani, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wasn't a Muslim at this time. As Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir mentions that Jubair ibn Mutim wasn't a Muslim at this time, but him hearing these ayat from this surah was from amongst those things that caused him to enter in Islam later on. Yani, this experience of hearing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reciting in the Maghrib prayer from Surah At-Tur. He said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. So when he reached, yani, he's hearing the Prophet ﷺ reciting from the surah, and in it, yani, it contains the mention of At-Tur, the mountain of Tur, and the mention of the heavens that are raised, and the mention of various different things, including the shaking of the skies and the moving of mountains. And he came to these ayat where he heard the Prophet ﷺ reciting, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ هُمُ الْمُسَيْطَرُونَ. Yani, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is in refutation of the disbelievers, particularly those who claim that they don't believe there is a creator. Yani, many ayahs in the Quran refute the pagan disbelievers who believe that there is a creator, but they worship something along with him. As far as the ones who don't acknowledge that there is even a creator, those who claim that they don't believe there is a creator, Allah revealed these ayahs to them, and in reference to their belief, or in reference to their denial, he says, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Were they created from nothing, yani without a creator? أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Or are they the creators of themselves? Both of these are impossibilities. Yani, that something can be created without a creator. Or that something can create itself. Yani, it didn't exist and it brings itself into creation. Both of these are impossible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking them, then, were you created from nothing without a creator? Or did you create yourselves? And both of these, yani, the only response they can respond to is, we were not created without a creator, and we didn't create ourselves. What's left then is the acknowledgement that there is a creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created them. He also said, or did they create the heavens and the earth? And this is also an impossibility that they could have created the heavens and earth. بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. But in reality, since they don't have the knowledge, the certainty of the affair, then they didn't benefit. And they didn't benefit from that which is revealed in the Quran, and they didn't even benefit from the intellectual, yani, process of reasoning, which would make them acknowledge that there must be a creator, and then that creator deserves to be worshipped. Allah also asked them, do they control the treasures of Allah, of your Rabb, or are they the ones who have, yani, absolute power over it? Yani, that they control, yani, the creation and what it contains. It's narrated in the hadith that Jubair ibn Mutim radiallahu anhu said, كَادَ قَلْبِي أَنْ يَطِيرُ. Yani, that my heart was about to take flight. Yani, the amazement and the joy and the happiness that he experienced from hearing these ayats, yani, is expressed in him saying that his heart was about to fly. And his heart was about to take flight, to leave from his body, from joy and happiness and amazement. And in another narration also reported by Al-Bukhari, it says, وَذَلِكَ أَوَّلُ مَا وَقَرَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي قَلْبِي. That he said, that was the beginning of the establishment of iman in my heart. Yani, the point here that the Shaykh is mentioning, and then, yani, what comes after this is mentioned in the English translation, but the point that he is mentioning here, or the point that he is making here, is that, yani, reflecting on these ayat, caused a man who was not a Muslim, the reflection on these ayats caused him to recognize, to acknowledge, and to realize, yani, the reverence that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. Yani, it affected his heart. The Shaykh, he closes here this particular first point, or his commentary on it. He says, فَالْعَبْدِ إِذَا حَدَّثَتْهُ نَفْسُهُ بِرْتِكَابِ ذَنْبٍ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. So if any person, if his heart speaks to him, يعني encourages him, calls him to commit a sin, فَلْيَشْهَدْ بِقَلْبِهِ جَلَالَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَعَظَمَتَهُ وَجَبَرُوتَهُ وَأَنَّهُ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَى أَفْعَالِهِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ. So if a person finds their nafs, their soul, calling them to commit a sin, then he said what he must do is فَلْيَشْهَدْ قَلْبُهُ, that his heart must recognize and acknowledge the magnificence and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his greatness and his glory and his omnipotence, his power over everything, and that he is the one who is overseeing. He sees, he is observing his actions and he is observing his speech. Yani if a person feels a motivation coming from their nafs or from otherwise to commit a sin, then they must allow their heart, yani they must actively engage their heart to recognize and to acknowledge the magnificence of Allah, the greatness, the majesty and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his power, and that he sees what you are doing and that he hears what you are saying. وَإِذَا اسْتَشْعَرَ الْعَبْدِ ذَلِكَ بِقَلْبِهِ كَفَّ عَنْ إِرْتِكَابِ الذُّنُوبِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ لَا مَحَالًا. So if a person يعني becomes conscious of this, yani the reverence of Allah and the veneration of Allah and the greatness and glory of Allah, if a person has this consciousness, this awareness in their heart, then this will prevent him from committing the sins by the permission of Allah, without doubt. Without doubt. Yani a person cannot, a believer cannot have in their heart the consciousness, the awareness of reverence, yani of the might and the magnitude and the majesty and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can't have that consciousness in their heart and at the same time yani feel yani willing to disobey him, to do that which is displeasing to him. And then the Shaykh closes, and this is also not mentioned in the English translation, he closes with a statement from Bishr ibn al-Harith al-Hafi, yani Bishr ibn Harith al-Hafi, he said, لَوْ تَفَكَّرَ النَّاسُ فِي عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَمَا عَصَوْهُ. Yani if the people were to reflect upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wouldn't have disobeyed him. Yani it is the person who is in ghafla, who is not thinking of Allah, who is not remembering Allah, that finds themselves engaging in disobedience to Allah. But if a person calls to mind, yani in their heart, the acknowledgement, the recognition, the actualization, the realization of Allah's greatness and His glory and His magnificence and His power, then this will help the person yani to refrain from disobedience to the one that they recognize and he has the right to be obeyed. Okay, this is the end of what the Shaykh said concerning this particular point. And I want to share with us yani a little bit of what Al-Imam, the Shaykh Abdulaziz, Shaykh Salih ibn Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Ibrahim Ali Shaykh, who for many, many years was the Minister of Religious Affairs in Saudi Arabia. In his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, he talks about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Shaykh in his commentary mentions the first ayah from Surah Al-Zumar, chapter 39:67, and this ayah is the heading of the final chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed. So Shaykh Salih Abdulaziz Ali Shaykh, in his explanation, which is translated, or at least a good portion of it is translated, he has a commentary on this last chapter, yani in which there's the mention of this ayat, the ayat from Surah Al-Zumar, and then a number of hadith, 6 or 7 narrations of hadith that talk about the greatness and the majesty and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His power over the creation. So the Shaykh in his commentary actually makes a very, very beautiful commentary. It's quite lengthy, But I want to read some of it at least, after mentioning the narrations that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab yani narrates in this chapter, the final chapter of Kitab At-Tawheed. And these are indications, these yani ahadith are indications of the greatness of Allah and the magnificence of Allah, the majesty of Allah and His power and His glory. And why the human being who knows this about Allah, knows these descriptions of Allah, why they would humble themselves to Allah and be obedient to Allah, if a person knows this. So he mentions first, and after mentioning the ayat that we already talked about, or that we mentioned from the Shaykh, from Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 67th ayat, that the pagan disbelievers didn't, give Allah His just due in terms of the majesty and the greatness and His glory. And then he mentions, and the earth, وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ, that the earth, on يوم القيامة, will be in the grip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالسَّمَاوَاتْ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ, and the heavens, all of the heavens, will be rolled up in His right hand. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. So the Shaykh, after Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, after mentioning this ayat as the chapter heading or the main topic of the final chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed, he mentions, I think, seven narrations. And I'm going to read just a couple of them. The first one of them is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The first of them is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And it's reported in Al-Bukhari and others. In which, radiallahu anhu, in which he said, a rabbi from amongst the Jews came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, Ya Muhammad, inna najidu anna Allah yaj'alu as-samawati ala isba'in, والعرادين على إصبع والشجرة على إصبع والماء والثرى على إصبع وسائل الخلائق على إصبع فيقول أنا الملك. يعني the rabbi, يعني what is mentioned here, it means the rabbi, he means from the scholars of the Jews, a man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said that we find in the knowledge that is with us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the heavens, السماوات, on a finger, and the earths, the seven earths, on a finger, and the trees, all the trees on the earth, on a finger, and the water and the soil on a finger, and the rest of the creation on a finger. And then he will say, Ana al-Malik, I am the king. Yani this rabbi came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, this is what we know about Allah. Yani the greatness, the magnificence, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is so great that he would put all these things, yani on a finger. He said, and then he would say, Ana al-Malik. The Prophet ﷺ smiled, or he laughed, yani in approving, yani testifying to the truthfulness of what this Jewish scholar said to him, that he believed that this was in fact true. And then he recited the saying from Surah Az-Zumar, and they have not given Allah His just due, and indeed the whole of the earth will be in His grip, and the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. This hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari. The second narration that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah mentions in this chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed is from Abdullah ibn Umar. The first narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Second narration from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and this narration is reported in Sahih Muslim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yatwi Allahu azza wa jalla as-samawati yawm al-qiyamah thumma ya'khudhuhunna biyadihi al-yumna ثم يقول أنا الملك أين الجبارون أين المتكبرون ثم يتوي الأرادين بشماله ثم يقول أنا الملك أين الجبارون أين المتكبرون. يعني the Allah, يعني the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said on يوم القيامة that Allah will roll up the heavens and He would take hold of them in His right hand, and then He would say, I am the king. Where are the arrogant and proud ones? Yani the people who thought they were great in this world. And then He will roll up all of the earths in His left hand, and He will say, I am the king. Where are the proud and arrogant ones? The third narration is from Abdullah ibn Abbas. From Abdullah ibn Abbas. First narration from who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the second narration from? Abdullah ibn Umar. And the third narration from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. And this narration begins, رُوِيَ عن عبد الله بن عباس. And Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah said, and the scholars of hadith said that when a narration begins with ruya, this is what is called sigat al-tamrid. It means that they consider the narration to be weak. They consider the narration to be weak. However, Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah has mentioned that Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah declared this narration to be sahih. He mentions that Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah declared this narration to be weak. That Abd ibn Abbas says, مَسَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرَادُونَ السَّبْعُ فِي كَفْ الرَّحْمَنِ إِلَّا كَخَرْدَلَةٍ فِي يَدِ أَحَدِكُمْ. Yani, that the heavens, the seven heavens, and the seven earths in the palm of Ar-Rahman is like a mustard seed in the hand of one of you. Yani, a mustard seed in one of you, in your hand, the seven heavens and the seven earths are like that. Yani, the nisba, yani, meaning that in the same way that this mustard seed in the hand of one of you is like nothing, so the seven heavens and the seven earths, yani, will be in the palm of Ar-Rahman in that similar type of way, showing the greatness and the glory and the magnitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth narration is mentioned by the Imam of Tafsir, Al-Imam Al-Tabri, Ibn Jarir Al-Tabri, rahimahullah, and he says, and he mentions the chain of narration going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, مَسَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبَعُ فِي الْكُرْسِيِّ إِلَّا كَدَرَاهِمْ سَبَعَةٍ أُلْقِيَاتْ فِي التُرْسِنْ. Yani, that the seven heavens in comparison to the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that the kursi is, as Abdullah ibn Abbas mentions in a narration authentically reported from him, that the kursi is the mawdi' qadami ar-Rahman. Yani, it is the place of the two feet of ar-Rahman. Yani, it is the footstool of ar-Rahman. The kursi is not the throne of Allah. The throne is the arsh, and the kursi is less than the throne. He said that the seven heavens in comparison to the kursi is like seven coins that are in a shield. Yani, if a person had a shield and there were seven coins placed into that shield, yani, they will be insignificant in comparison to the shield. So likewise, the seven heavens in comparison to the kursi of Allah is like that. And then Al-Imam Al-Tabri, Ibn Jarir Al-Tabri, rahimahullah, mentions from Abi Dhar, radiallahu anhu, that I heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing the comparison, yani, that previous narration, the comparison of the seven heavens, how insignificant they are in reference to the kursi of Allah. And now, then Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, mentions the insignificance of the kursi in reference to the arsh of Allah. He says that Abu Dha mentions that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَالْ كُرْسِي فِي الْعَرْشِ إِلَّا كَحَلْقَةٍ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ أُلْقِيَتْ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَي فَلَاتٍ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Yani, that the kursi in comparison to the arsh of Allah is no more than like an iron ring that was thrown in the desert. Yani, an iron ring in the desert. How insignificant would be an iron ring thrown in the desert? That's how insignificant the kursi is in reference to the arsh. And the seven heavens are insignificant in reference to the greatness of the kursi. And the kursi, yani, the arsh is greater than the kursi. The Shaykh mentions two more narrations, one from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and another one from Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are similar. So I'll just read one of them, the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He says, and by the way, this narration, some of the scholars said that it is mawquf, and it's narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, not going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, lahu hukm al-raf, but it takes on the ruling of being going back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's not something that a person can know without, yani, coming by way of revelation. Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz said that this hadith is sahih in his commentary or explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. The final narration that we want to mention here is the saying of Abd ibn Mas'ud that, yani, the scholars say, go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he doesn't mention it. Bayna as-sama'i ad-dunya والتي تليها 500 عام. Yani, that between the heaven that is above this world and the one that follows it, between them is 500 years, the distance that a person would travel in 500 years. Yani, between the sama that is above this earth, the heaven that's above this earth, and the one that follows it, is the distance that a person would travel in 500 years. وَبَيْنَ كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ وَسَمَاءٍ 500 عام. And between each heaven of the seven heavens, the distance between each of one of them is the distance that a person would travel in 500 years. وَبَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ السَّبْعَ وَالْكُرْسِي 500 عام. And between the seventh heaven and the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the distance that a person would travel in 500 years. وَبَيْنَ الْكُرْسِي وَالْمَاءِ 500 عام. And between the kursi and the body of water that is above it, that is below the throne, is a distance of 500 years. وَالْأَرْشِ فَوْقَ الْمَاءِ. And the arsh of Allah is above that water. وَاللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ. And Allah is above the arsh. وَلَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. And there's nothing from your deeds that are hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These narrations, yani, especially this last narration, yani, shows us the magnitude of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the distance between this earth and the heaven that is above us is the distance that a person travels in 500 years. And the distance between each heaven to the next one is the distance that a person travels in 500 years. And the distance between the seventh heaven and the kursi of Allah is the distance that a person would travel in 500 years. And above the kursi is the distance between the kursi and the body of water that's above it is the distance of 500 years. And above that body of water is the arsh, and Allah is above the arsh. And in this narration, it is mentioned that there's nothing that we do that is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we pray, yani just as a thought, yani to reflect upon, and we prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we say according to the sunnah, what? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Al-A'la. Yani that Allah is the most high. He is above the seven heavens. And He's above the arsh, that is above the seven heavens, and the body of water that's above the seven heavens, that's above the kursi of Allah and above the arsh. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed the most high. When a person reads these kinds of narrations, as I think is the intent of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, it is to make a person recognize, to realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highness of Allah, and His power, and His knowledge, and the perfection of His characteristics and qualities, and His control over everything in the heavens and the earth. However great they might be, Allah has control over all of it. In closing, we still have, mashallah, 10 minutes. Fayyid. So in closing, I just want to mention something from the commentary of Sheikh Salih ibn Abdulaziz Ali Sheikh, Hafidhullah, and he mentions a very, very lengthy commentary on these narrations. He mentions a very lengthy commentary. Some of it, a little bit of it, is in the English translation of his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. Yani if a person finds this, I don't know if the cover is still the same, this is the old printing of it, perhaps. It's published by Dar es Salaam, yani interpretation of Kitab al-Tawheed by the noble Sheikh Salih Abdulaziz Ali Sheikh. In his commentary on the last chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed, he mentions, yani, some of what I'm going to read right now. What they translated is a little bit of a lot of what he said. But I'm going to read a little bit more of what he said, more than what they wrote there. And he begins by saying that this bab, yani that which comes concerning the saying of Allah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, to the end of the ayah, he said this, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab closed his book, Kitab al-Tawheed, with this chapter, the chapter related to what Allah said concerning how the people do not give Him His just due, who do not realize the greatness and the glory and the magnitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this is a great way to end the book, because whoever knows the reality of these descriptions that this chapter entails, and we have read most of them, whoever knows this reality and knows the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person would not have any ability to do anything except to humble themselves. To humble themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to submit to the Rabbil Alameen. The truth of the matter, the reality is that the creation has not given Allah His due, has not, yani, قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. He goes on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, He gives a clarification of one description of his divine being, his that. And he says in this ayat, and he's showing us something about himself. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, that the entirety of the earth will be in his grip on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, the whole of this earth, with all of its magnitude and all of what is in it and what it contains, will be insignificant in front of Allah on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. His saying, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ, it means مَا عَظَّمُهُ حَقَّ تَعَظِمِهِ, yani that they did not magnify and glorify and exalt Allah in the manner that was due to him. For indeed, if they had done so, they wouldn't have worshipped other than him, and they wouldn't have obeyed other than him. Rather, they would have given him the true worship, and they would have humbled themselves to him, and they would have submitted and surrendered with obedience to him, and they would turn to him with awe and fear. However, they didn't give Allah his just due, and they didn't magnify Allah in the way that was due to him based upon the greatness of his divine being and the greatness of his divine characteristics. He says here in this ayat, Allah makes clear something, a little bit, of the characteristics of his majestic and magnificent divine being, his that, when he says, and the earth, the whole of it, is will be in the grip of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The human intellect doesn't have the capacity to conceive the reality of Allah's greatness and His glory. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something that helps us to understand something about His characteristics when He says, the earth in its entirety will be in his grip on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So if a person looks at this earth and how big it is and its magnitude and its size and how much the people think that it is great, yani the people that are on the earth, how great they think this earth is. If somebody was to look at the size of this earth and its vastness and all that it contains and acknowledge and recognize that it will be in the grip of Ar-Rahman, yani it will be in the hand of Ar-Rahman on Yawm al-Qiyamah. From this we will understand that the kef, the palm of Ar-Rahman, the yed of Ar-Rahman is greater than all of this, yani greater than the earth and all that it contains and everything that the people think of it as being great. The Shaykh goes on to say that this is from the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that this earth, which the people on the earth think is so great, and the heavens, which the people who look up into the heavens think is so great. He is saghiratun wa a'ilatun fi sighr ila an takunu fi kaf ar-Rahman. Yani that the greatness that the people think of the earth as being and the heavens as being, in reality it is very small to such an extent that it will be in the palm of ar-Rahman on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater and more noble than these things that the people think are great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-wasi' al-hamid alladhi lahu al-hamd kulluhu wa lahu al-thana kulluhu wa yubayinu thalika azamat al-rab fi dhatihi wa azamat al-rab jalla wa ala fi sifatihi. So He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast, and He is the one who, yani al-hamid, the one who is praised, the one to whom all praise is due and all glorification is due. And this makes clear to us the greatness of Ar-Rab in His that, and the greatness of Ar-Rab in His sifat, yani His divine being and His qualities and characteristics. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَالْأَرْضْ أَلَّتِي أَنْتَ فِيهَا نُقْتَةٌ صَغِيرَةٌ جِدًّا بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. So this earth that you are upon is like a small dot, very, very small dot in comparison to the heavens. This earth, in comparison to the heavens, is almost insignificant. And the earth and the heavens together are in the utmost, yani, of being insignificant in comparison to the kursi of Allah. And the kursi also, yani, is above, yani, the heavens and the earth. And above them, and above that, is the Arsh of Ar-Rahman, and the Kursi in consideration or in comparison to the Arsh is like, as mentioned in the previous narration, is just like an iron ring that's thrown in the desert. So it is of extremely minute in comparison to the arsh of Ar-Rahman, yani that Allah has ascended above, that Allah Himself is above the arsh of above His arsh. He said, if the people, and this is the point here that we want to close with, yani reflection, contemplation on the magnificence and the greatness of the creation, which only is so insignificant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it only shows us the greatness and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. He said, if the people were to consider, to reflect upon the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which He is deserving of in terms of majesty and glory and His magnitude, and that which He is upon, meaning the characteristics of His divine being, and the characteristics of His actions, meaning, yani if a person were to reflect upon Allah's divine characteristics of His being, that He has knowledge of everything, that He hears and sees everything, that He has power over everything, these are sifat of al-Zat. These are from His, the characteristics of His divine being, that He has perfect knowledge, that he has perfect sight and hearing, and that He, yani, has power over everything. And from the characteristics of His actions is His creation and His provision for everything in the creation, that He gives life and He gives death, and that He is the one who has absolute control to do whatever He wants to do in the creation. If a person were to reflect upon these characteristics of Allah, and if they were to reflect upon the reality of the perfection, the absolute perfection and the majesty of Allah's characteristics, then the people would see how insignificant they are, and they would know that there is nothing that can save them and nothing that will honor them except to be slaves to Allah alone, to the exclusion of everything else and everyone else besides Him. If people were to reflect upon the characteristics of Allah's rububiyyah, yani His being the Rabb, the one who created and owns and controls everything, if people were to reflect upon the sifat of His jalal and His jamal, yani His majesty and His beauty, if people were to reflect upon the divine being of Allah and how great it is, and that He has ascended above His throne, and that He is completely separate and distinct from His creation, then they would know that no one has a right to direct worship to them or to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people were to reflect upon your Rabb, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, Al-Muttasif bi Sifat Al-Jalal, if a person were to reflect upon Allah, the Mighty, the Wise, the One who is described with the characteristics of majesty and glory, and if they were to reflect upon the fact that He is above His throne, commanding and prohibiting in this vast kingdom that He created and that He controls, a kingdom that's so vast that the earth, مَلْ أَرْضُ إِلَّا كَشَبَهِ لَا شَيْءٍ فِي دَاخِلْ ذَلِكَ الملكوت. Yani that the earth in this vast creation of Allah is like it's almost like nothing. Yani it doesn't even almost exist. The earth is like something that doesn't even exist in the vast creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this creation, Allah is abundantly bestowing His rahmah and His blessings and His favors on whoever He wills. And He is sending His punishment on whoever He wills. And He is giving pleasure to whomever He wills. And He is turning away the trials and tribulations from whomever He wills. He is the one who controls the blessings and the favors. If a person were to reflect upon this, then they would see the actions of Allah in the heavens. And they would see the worship of the angels in the heavens for this magnificent Rabb, the one who has ascended upon His throne. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attat as-sama'u wa haqqa laha an ta'atta. Yani that the heavens are making a noise, a squeaking noise from the heaviness of the kathrat, yani the multitude of the angels that are in the heavens worshipping Allah. He said the heavens is making a squeaking noise, and rightly so. There's not a space, yani the width of four fingers, except that in every one of those spaces is an angel standing, worshipping Allah, or an angel bowing, worshipping Allah, or an angel prostrating, worshipping Allah out of recognition of the greatness and the magnitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person were to look at this and they were to look at the execution of Allah's command in this vast creation. Yani this creation which we don't know anything about it except that which is around, yani this earth. Or we don't know anything about it except what is near to this earth. Rather, we only know some of that. We only know some of what is around the earth, which is insignificant in the vastness of the creation of Allah. While Allah is the one who controls every affair in the whole of this creation. If a person were to consider that this Rabb al-Jaleel al-Azim al-Muttasif bihadhi al-Mulk al-Azim, yani the one, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is described as having the control of this great creation, and that this Rabb who controls everything in the creation, that he is turning to this insignificant human being and commanding you to worship him. He's commanding you to worship him. And indeed, if you only knew, this would be honor, an honor for you to worship him. And he is commanding you to have observed taqwa of him. And this is also a means of glorification for you, if you could comprehend. And he is ordering you to be obedient to him. And this should be a source of joy and pleasure and honor, if you only knew. He said, indeed, if a person knew the haqq of Allah, the right of Allah, if a person knew these divine characteristics of Allah and the absolute, yani loftiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his that and in his sifat, yani his divine being is high above everything and his characteristics are also high, lofty, sublime, yani greater than the characteristics of everything in the creation. If a person also were to consider that Allah's command is executed in the seven heavens, which is insignificant in reference to the kursi of Allah. And if they, and above that, yani above the seven heavens and above the kursi, and whatever is above that, and the paradise and the hellfire, and all of that, yani if a person were to reflect on the fact that Allah's command is executed in the whole of the creation, then they wouldn't find for themselves any ability except to surrender to him and to submit to him obediently, and to turn towards him in obedience to him, and seek nearness to him by doing that which he loves. If a person were to know that when they are reciting his speech, yani the book of Allah, the Quran, that they are reciting the speech of the one who is addressing you directly, who is commanding you and prohibiting you by that speech. If a person were to reflect on these things, he said, فَيُثْمِرْ عَنْدَكَ حِينَ إِذٍ مِنَ التَّوْقِيرُ وَالتَّعْظِيمُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ غَيْرُ مَا كُنْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. And this is yani the main point here, that if a person were to have these reflections upon the creation of Allah and his actions and the angels that are worshipping him and his power and control and the execution of his command in the whole of this vast creation, then the fruit of this would be that a person would have reverence for Allah, and they would have ta'zeem of Allah more than what they had before this reflection. Yani their condition would be changed by this. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ رُسُوخِ الْإِيمَانِ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَتَعْظِيمَ الرَّبِّ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ أَنْ يَتَأَمَّلَ الْعَبْدُ وَيَتَفَكَّرْ فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كَمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ بِذَلِكَ حِينَ قَالَ. And so he said, for this reason, from amongst the causes or the means of iman being established in the heart, and the ta'zeem, the magnification and glorification of Allah being established in the heart, from the means of that is that a person reflect and ponder and contemplate over the sovereignty, the dominion of Allah over the heavens and the earth, as Allah commanded when he said. And he mentioned several ayats here. From amongst them is Surah to Yunus, the 10th Surah, 101, where Allah says the meaning of which, yani, or he says, قُلْ انظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, yani, look at, consider, reflect upon what is in the heavens and the earth. And in another ayat he mentions, in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 185th ayat, do they not look at the dominion of the heavens and the earth and all of what Allah has created in it? And in another ayat in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 190th and 192nd ayat, yani where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That indeed in the creation of the heavens and earth and the alternation of the night and the day indeed are signs for people of understanding. And the ayat goes on to say, yani they are the ulul albab, or those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth to the end of those ayats. And the shaykh closes by saying, and they, these people who Allah is mentioning in this last citation, the ulul albab, he said, هُمْ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ كِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Yani from their characteristics is that they remember Allah in at all times, in every situation or circumstance, whether standing or sitting or lying on their sides, and they reflect upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in spite of that, yani the fact that they remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides, and they reflect upon the creation of Allah and His dominion over the heavens and earth, in spite of that, they are asking Allah to save them from the hellfire. فَهُمْ فِي ذُلٍّ وَخُضُوعٍ لِمَا عَرَفُوا مِنْ آثَارِ التَّوْحِيدِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ وَلِمَا عَرَفُوا مِنْ آثَارِ التَّوْحِيدِ الْأُولُوهِيَّةِ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَفِي النَّفْسِ. So these people, they have humbled themselves and they have submitted in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to what they came to know of the effects of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah in the heart and in the soul. And this is the end of, yani the shaykh has a little bit more, but this is the end of the main portion of what he said here. And so the point here is that, yani this chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed is highlighting for us some of the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which shows His greatness and His majesty and His magnificence and His power and His authority in the heavens and the earth, the greatness of Allah over everything that we see or that we don't see, that we know and that we don't know in the creation. Yani showing that the magnitude and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani the human being is not capable of comprehending it, but these are some ideas that help us to see, yani what Allah is due. Yani that Allah, yani He has a right that we magnify Him, that we glorify Him, that we exalt Him, that we recognize His greatness and His glory and His power and His authority. And as such, the person who has that realization or that actualization in their heart, inshallah, this would be from amongst the means that will help a person to be obedient to Allah and to avoid sins. And this is yani what we can mention for tonight. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions or any comments, inshallah we'll take them after the salat. Naam, Imam. Fa.
With the third hadith in the last chapter, you mentioned that Ibn Abbas, that the hadith of Ibn Abbas,
yeah.
Then you mentioned that Sheikh Al-Bani mentioned that Ibn Taymiyyah said it was sahih.
Yes.
And then right after that, it sounded like he said that he meant to be naif as well. So I'm just trying to clarify.
Okay, so let me just clarify then. Yani the third hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, yani the scholars said, yani it's mentioned, yani it's narrated with the expression that's used for hadith that they consider to be weak. Instead of saying rawa, they said ruwiya. So this is what is known as sigat al-tamrid. It means that there's some defect in the narration. However, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, yani mentions, he conveyed to us, he transmitted to us, that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said the hadith is sahih. And he didn't, Shaykh al-Albani didn't say anything behind that, like he didn't contradict it or question it. Yani he left it like that, that it is authentic narration. Naam, and Allah knows best. Tayyib, then.